Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Well, man, you can't do that. That'll jam every gear in the gearbox right there. Because you know how people are. Sometimes they just rub you the wrong way, don't they? You just want to get a whiffle bat and start slapping somebody. Somebody's just rude and mean and messing with you and doing you wrong. All right, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says Job. No, the Lord. Because God said, if you got somebody messing with you, bless them. Let's bless you. Because you need it. Because right now you're full of the devil, I'll tell you that right now. But I pray God bless you good, because you just mean, snot-nosed mouth, foul. Bless you. I mean good. Really, I mean it. God bless you, because I'm really good, because you need it. God draws you. I'm believing out of his goodness, and you need some. That's what God says for husbands and wives to do that are born again, spirit-filled in 1 Peter 3. Don't give evil for evil, or railing for railing. On the contrary, give a blessing. Next time your spouse unleashes verbal evil at you, just stand there. Bless you. It's in the Bible. It said, if you want to inherit a blessing, give one. When? When they don't deserve it. Bless you good. Bless your heart and bless you. I don't know what else to say. Bless you. I'm at a loss. Just bless you. I don't know what I'm lost. Bless you. Be happy with those that are happy. Weep with those that weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. You ever feel ordinary? That's good. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everybody can see you're honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This starts in our own homes with our own spouses and our own children, our own families, our own in-laws and outlaws, whoever else is attached to you. We're the salt and the light. What do? We do right the opposite of the world. We're going to be good when you don't deserve it and you don't have it coming. That's mercy. You understand that? That is the mercy of God. I'm not waiting you to deserve it. I'm not God. I'm just here to bless everybody. I love everybody. How can I help you? Can I help you? Let me help you. And people, they don't know how to handle that when you start acting that way. You start talking that way in your own marriage. We've told people in marriages, if you just shut your mouth, stop talking trash to one another, that'll help them stop the bleeding. That'll be good. Find you a couple of good words and say, if you don't know what to say, I give them this. Just say, bless you. I don't know what to say yet. I don't have any good words, but I'll give you a bless you. Real good. Hard to fight when somebody blesses, isn't it? I never heard anybody get punched in the mouth for blessing. God said, I want you to live different. The people say, how can you do it? There's a scripture in Philippians 2:13, says out of the New Living Translation, says, God gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You know why the Holy Spirit came? The Holy Spirit came to empower us to be a witness. Be a witness for what? Mess with people who don't deserve it. We were in that line. You do remember that, don't you? If you're here and you're saved, we used to be in that line, and somebody that we didn't even pray for or know to pray for crossed our path, witnessed to us, prayed for us, were good to us, and we knew we didn't deserve it. So what is that? The goodness of God. You know what slapped Peter to the deck of that boat that day he went fishing with Jesus? You know, he didn't want to go fishing. He thinks, Jesus, you're a good carpenter. You don't know anything about fishing. I mean, you don't fish in the daytime in the deep. You fish in the shallow at night. But Jesus has just told him, let's launch that into the deep for a great catch. Peter's thinking, well, now, you know, I'm known for sticking my foot in my mouth and everybody's watching. Okay, is Peter going to do what Jesus says? Is he going to argue with him like he always does? So he sees him looking, all right, let's go. Get on the boat. Let's go. Out in the deep they go, and he only throws one net over. And Jesus had told him to throw all the nets over. Going to bless him back for letting him use his boat. So he throws one net because he didn't want to have to clean them all again because he knows he's not going to catch anything. He didn't believe any of this. But you know the story. You've heard if you've been in church. He throws one net over the boat just to make Jesus happy. Lets it sink. He's looking at Jesus like, see, no fish. And I was like, boom, that boat lunges to one side. Like, he forgot Jesus. Threw the other net. That didn't help. Now the boat's sinking. Then he starts screaming in Greek for his partners to get their boats to come out. Because, see, this isn't a holy moment. If we get these boats to shore, we're going to be 50 stinking rich. So everybody's screaming in Greek, and boats are sinking, nets are busting, fish are flopping, and they're trying to get to shore with this thing. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Peter remembered Jesus. Now, I don't know what he was doing. I just assume he's whistling something Jewish hymn on the front of the boat. And the Bible says that Peter turned, he saw Jesus, and it convicted. Coals of shame hit him on his head, and to the deck of that boat, he went like a two before. Boom! Hit that thing face down, and he screamed at Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Now, what slapped him to that boat? The goodness of God. I can just imagine Jesus sitting there whistling. All says it kind of messes with it, doesn't it? Because you didn't think it would happen, did you? Gotcha. We were called to live a better life than the world. They're supposed to look at us and ask us about the hope that's in us, but it's going to take some sacrifice. And what happens is people think, if I sacrifice, I won't get it back. Jesus sacrificed his life and got something called a church. It's changed the world. God always rewards those who diligently seek him. I tell people, God's a rewarder. Don't look for flesh to reward you. Let God do it. I close this story. I love to collect biographies for my kids. Got this one last year, and I've been using it quite a bit. A guy named Thomas Paine, 1980. He's in his mid-80s, born in the late 1800s. He's dying, they say. His heart's bad. Horrible lifestyle, wasted a life, just like the Israelis did, you know, for 20 years, didn't honor God. Messed his heart up, man. He's just too much cholesterol and cheeseburgers or whatever, and he's just messed up. He's dying. He's on all kinds of medication. He hurts every day he gets up, and he just wants to die. He just wants to die, but he won't commit suicide because he doesn't believe it's right. He wants to make sure he goes to heaven. He's not sure on his theology, so he won't kill himself. And this is a true story. So he gets up and he's thinking, man, I'm just miserable. I just want to go home. I just want to die. Most of my friends are dead. I just want to die. And so he thought, what am I going to do? I can't kill myself. So he thought one evening what he would do. He said, my heart's real bad. I mean, I can feel it just going down the hall of the bathroom. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll get up in the morning at sun up and I'm going to put on my tennis shoes. 85 years old. I'm going to go out the back door of my house and I'm going to take off through my neighborhood as fast as I can go. And I just know my heart, which is already boom. It'll just blow up. I'll fall over dead and it'll all be legal. It's a true story. It's what he thought. Got up the next morning, put on his tennis shoes and those 85-year-old legs, went out the back door, and buddy, off he went through that neighborhood. Boom, 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 boom. Heart must say boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden, about 150 yards from the house, he just went boom, like a light, man. Woke up a few minutes later. He said he woke up and he saw the blue sky and the trees and heard the birds and heard the cars. Thought, this isn't heaven. I'm not dead. I can't believe I'm not dead. I got a bad heart. They tell me I got a bad heart. They tell me, no, take it easy. It should have blown up by now. He got mad, went home, and stewed all day long. That evening, he got mad, and he didn't take his medication. He flushed it down the toilet. He sat up, and he waited for sun up. Next one, he got up, put on his tennis shoes. Today. He went out the back door, took off the neighborhood. Got about 300 yards. Over like a log. Woke up a few minutes later, was like, I'm not dead. I am still here. Man, he was mad. Made him so mad. Every day he'd get up and he'd run a little farther and a little farther. Got up to about 6 miles a day. Thomas Paine is a cult figure among marathon runners. In his 90s, he was running marathons. I said, who's a good-looking, slim guy and tan and all that? I said, that's Thomas Paine. Tried to run himself to death, and he ran himself to life. The point of the story is, God's not moved out of pity. God's only moved by faith. If I cry, he'll cry. I hurt, he'll hurt. He will not move. It's not legal. Jesus always asks the question, hey, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Can you imagine Peter trying to help him out? Well, Lord, he's got no eyeballs. Shut up, I'm not talking to you. Hey, hey, blind man, what can I do for you? Need a toboggan, some new tennis shoes? What you need there? And blind Bartimaeus, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus asked the crippled man by the pool, hey, crippled man, what can I do for you today? I can imagine Peter saying, Lord, you got no legs. Okay, you got no legs. Shut up, Peter. I'm not talking to you. Hey, crippled man, what is it you'd like me to do for you today? And he said, Lord, my legs, I can't get to the water fast enough. When the angel troubles the water, get my miracle. I can't scoot over there. I need my legs. Of course, the walking, leaping, praising God story. Every story in the Bible is like that. If you want something out of life, you got to go to God and get it. God says, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You sit there and cry over your situation, I'll cry, but I will not move. Greatest story in the New Testament is the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus didn't know she's down there. He's God, but he's here as a man. He laid down as Pumbaa as God. He had to come as a man, so he's going through this narrow passageway. Men are packed like a sardine can, trying to get out to the daylight. Can't breathe. And all of a sudden, Jesus said to the disciples while they're going through that narrow passage, "Hey, somebody touch me." Peter said, "Lord, everybody's touching. We can't breathe in here." "No, not that kind of touch. Somebody just took something out of me. I felt virtue. Boom, I felt something leave me. Somebody took something. Who is it?" "Wasn't me. I'm just trying to get out of here." "Well, back up." And they backed up. And here's this woman, this old bloody woman laying down there on the ground under everybody's feet, hanging on to his coattail, you know. And said, "Back up, let this woman up." And the woman had said in her heart, "If I'm up, but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." And she said, "What are you doing now, woman?" And he stood up. Now watch what he did not say. "Oh, woman, I, the Son of God, have healed thee this day." It was an accident, but you got it anyhow. He did not say, "Oh, woman, my great faith from creating the world has made thee whole." No! He said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole. I didn't even know you were down there." Do you understand? God's got it all, but we got to go get it. "Draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You knock, I'll open. You seek, you come on, do something." I've told my kids, "Don't you come thumb sucking in my house. We're not going to do this. I got too many of you. I need you to grow up and go get God and go do something for God. Make a place. Have some influence in the world. Don't cry. Man, I didn't pass the test. My boyfriend broke up. My tires went flat." Well, change them. Get you a good boyfriend and some idiot. Quit hanging out with idiots. Get you somebody good. Ask God to order your steps, direct your path. Quit crying about your life. No losers living here. Now, I'm telling you something. Sometimes you got to be like David, when David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you ever been out, "And ain't nobody around to help me." Well, you have to hang on to God. It's getting desperate, I guess. We're just going to go straight to the throne on this one. I leave you with this scripture. God says in Hebrews, said, "Go boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need." I need mercy when I have premeditated, sinned on purpose. That's when I need mercy. That's the only time you get mercy. You deserve it? Nope. But God said he'd give it because his mercy is new every morning and his mercy endures forever. Mercy is when I have sinned. Like God comes down and says, "Joe, did you just sin?" "Well, thou knowest, God." "Yes, I did." "Was it an accident or would you think about it a while?" "No, I was thinking about it quite a while." "And you knew it was wrong?" "Yeah, and you did it anyhow." "Yeah." "How's it working out?" "Not too good." Don't you know the Israelis felt stupid when they went to bed that night, got their pet goat back, got their land back in the house, and all of a sudden we're going to sit there thinking, "We wasted 20 years thumb sucking. We should have got up and done something and helped somebody." Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to pray.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joebiggieministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.